What's the technique in Genos's voice?
I got this role when I was 18. I had just been using my own voice. I did 4 callbacks. So he says, "My master is a very busy man." But the producers asked me, "Hey, can you make his voice lower?" So we kept going down in steps. "My master is a very busy man.
My master is a very busy man."
And then they said to me, "Can you do that for 4 hours?" And every acting coach I had ever been to just said, "Just say yes and figure it out later." So I just remember getting out of those sessions and like, oh, it hurts to even twist my neck because I'm just holding it in place.
Well, how old are you, can I ask?
I'm 28.
Well, you're still, that's
yeah.
so young.
Yeah.
That's so young.
Yeah.
Life is just beginning. But look how much you've gotten done in your young, ripe 28 years.
I've been super fortunate. Like, and I don't know, it's very surreal for me to be a part of this. Yeah. Growing up doing acting and stuff, because, you know, you don't know if you can ever, there's still times in my life where, my parents are like, "Hey, you need to go to college. Like, you have to go. What are you doing? Like, you can't make a living off of this. This is not sustainable."
Wow.
And then I did a commercial for Honda, and I showed my parents the check that they gave me.
Yeah.
Because I was one of the, "I'm your Southern California happy Honda dealer. You too can get a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the Accord."
National spot.
Yeah. Huge. It was everywhere. And I was like one of those people. One of my buddies was also another like Honda guy because they wanted to like have different ones. Maybe one for the happy Honda days.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So
how old were you?
When I did that? Yeah. Oh, geez. I think I was like 19.
Oh, that's pretty
sweet. Yeah. Like 18, 19.
But you showed your parents is the point, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, "I can buy my own car. I make in a year."
Yeah. No, they're like, this is crazy. How did you, what? And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know, but
I think I'm onto something.
I don't know how it happened. I just got my first agent and it all kind of started working out."
Dude. Well, that's give so me cool. a bump bump because you're here now.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Simpsons Declassified. We're about to declassify many things.
What?
Yeah. Well, starting with the idea that we go out on social media and we tell them that you're going to be our guest and we ask them, what questions would you like me to ask Zach and what questions would you like Zach to ask me?
Whoa.
So right there, you've got some cards.
Ooh.
And not to put you on the spot or anything, okay. but I'm going to start asking you a question and then we can flip back and forth.
Okay, I'm ready, yeah.
Archived Oliver asks, where were you when you got the phone call that you had been cast as Tanjiro?
I was at my parents' house, you know, living at home.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a phone call. It was an email.
That's
said,
cool.
"Hey, congratulations. You got the role." And so at the time, I knew that the show was like relatively, or the comic book, the manga, was relatively popular, but I had no idea that it would turn into this. I mean, technically, it's like the highest grossing anime ever.
Wow.
Which is, and that's like technically above Pokemon, right?
Seriously?
Above
that's crazy.
Yeah, above just above even the Studio Ghibli films that have came out as well. So yeah, I had no idea that it would turn into anything like this.
Right.
I just didn't even know because I went to a convention in 2019, late 2019 before COVID, and I think about 10 or 11 episodes of the first season were out, and I went to a convention and I maybe saw 2 or 3 Demon Slayer cosplayers, right? I'm like, oh, like, I guess some people like the show. It's kind of cool. And then COVID happens, and I go back to conventions like a year and a half or 2 years later. And I'm not even kidding. Like 80% of the entire convention, right? Like, thousands, tens of thousands of people, I would see Demon Slayer cosplay. Everybody's dressed up.
Wow.
It was bonkers to me. Like, everybody just sat at home during COVID and watched Demon Slayer, I guess.
Wow.
They threw it up on Netflix or something, yeah.
How did that feel for you? Like, were you kind of freaked out? Like, okay, my life is going to be different now. Like, what were the emotions that were going in your mind at the time?
Just surreal, because I grew up watching anime. I grew up, like, playing video games. So this was technically my dream, was to be a part of something like this.
Right, wow.
So I just, I don't know. Even now, it still hasn't fully kicked in. I've been doing the award shows, right? Like I went to the AAPI Critics Choice Awards. I went to the Astro Awards. I went to the Saturn Awards too.
Wow.
And you know, you're in a room, you have like Tom Cruise, James Cameron. I'm like, what is going on? And and then we won too. So we went up on the stage there in front of all these legends. It's it's surreal. It truly is surreal. I have no other words for it. I'm flabbergasted by it. Wow. Like, yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to pinch me and I wake up from my coma that I've been in for 20 years.
You know, when you were at that convention and 80% of them were wearing this cosplay, and for you to have the sole secret that that's me, I mean, was it tempting? Did you want to grab a mic and rah, 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 you know, do the voice? I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, it was, you know, kind of, yeah, because but at the same time, no, I don't know. I just felt so, like, weird. Maybe sometimes it's kind of I don't know how to describe it. Maybe an embarrassing feeling because people just know and they know who you are. And even when I'm out with my friends, and that's happened to me. I've been at Disneyland and I'll just be joking around, saying all sorts of, like, weird stuff, and a guy behind me asks, "Hey, are you Zach Aguilar? Like one of my friends met you before, and can I get a picture with you?"
Wow.
You know, just random things like that happen to me now, and I just don't even know what to think about it. Yeah.
Welcome to the world of anonymous celebrity.
It's funny though, because in a way it's kind of the best of both worlds doing voiceover. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I love like, you kind of get your moment in the spotlight. You get to work on something so creative and have fun, be a performer, and you get to go to conventions. Everybody knows who you are. You're like, you know, you're super cool at conventions. And then you go back home and I go to Target. It's like, oh, nobody cares. This is great. Like, you don't have to just be a normal person for the most part. I mean, it's awesome.
That's true.
Yeah. Matthew, the road trip guy, asks, what is Bart Simpson's favorite song of all time?
That's actually very easy. Well, I mean, it's debatable. I mean, I would say it's Do the Bart Man because he wrote it. But the time that we're in right now, I kind of think it's a little bit more like the Beastie Boys. Like that one song about fighting, you know, fight for your right. Okay, so I wrote the lyrics down, and I just wanted to do a little bit.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat here.
All right, here we go. You guys can help. We're all going to say kick it together. Are you ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Kick it! You wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go. Dun, 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 you ask your mom, please, but she still says no. Na 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 na. You miss two classes and no homework, but your teacher preaches class like you're some kind of jerk. Na 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 na. I could totally see him. People ask me, this is one of the most popular questions that people ask all the time. What do you see Bart doing when he grows up? First of all, he's never going to grow up. He's only 10 years old, but it's like they made him a construction worker. They made him, you know, some kind of degraded person living in the gutter or whatever. It's like, seriously. But actually, I think the guy could grow up and be, you know, playing, like, riffing, doing, like, funky riffs on the, and bad drumming and just, like, screeching out sounds and stuff like that. Maybe grow up and be a gamer.
Yeah,
I could see him being a gamer.
Yes, totally.
We haven't touched on that. Wink, wink. And they might pick up on that, but there you go.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Okay, cool. This is from that guy eating cake.
That guy eating cake.
That guy eating cake asks, will there ever be a season 2 of Cyberpunk Edgerunners?
There will be a season 2. There will be a season 2.
Is this declassified? You're announcing it? Is this Simpsons declassified?
This is super Simpsons declassified.
There will be. So the company put out a statement, and I talked to the writers from Poland, and I got to meet them last year. They did a panel at Anime Expo, and I was actually on that panel. And they made sure to tell everybody in the room that witnessed it that my character is unfortunately dead because he dies at the end of the first season. And they're like, he's dead. So they're trying to tell fans that he's not dead. Well, that's the biggest debated.
But is he?
He kind of gets like shot in the face. at that the end of the first season.
Mean he's dead.
Doesn't mean he's dead either. You know, a long time ago before you were born, there was a show called Dallas. At the end of one episode, it's like JR, it's like he was dead and he comes back to life. They do renew it and they made it a dream sequence. And it was all of
that's so wait, funny. Wait,
that would be awesome. I freaking wish because I've gotten to do small little collaborations that team has done collaborations with video games and other things. So I've gotten to come back and play my character again. But I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Maybe
it's a dream sequence.
Yeah,
dude, take liberties. You can use my idea. Don't even mention my name unless you think it will help. And then you have to pay me. No. Get in.
Put you in. Yeah. I will say this. The writer and the whole team, what they did with the first season, I think that's what made it so popular was just the it's like a 10-episode show. And truthfully, you really care about the characters, especially by the end of the episode. And every episode is only about 30 minutes or so. And they just everything, the pace of it, the characters, the design, it's just phenomenally done. You feel like everything is a high stakes moment, which I think is so cool. I don't know. But yeah, hopefully. Well, bring me back.
Yeah, bring Zach back.
Monkey in my mind asks, Nancy, do you remember recording the Goosebumps audiobooks?
You know, I did one. I think it did pretty well. I was a girl, which I rarely play. It's true. I rarely play girls. The difference, it's like probably the ratio is 1 to 20 about how many girls I play in my whole career. I don't really do girls very much. Richard Horowitz was in it and Townsend Coleman were actors and I'd played with them before and then subsequently worked with them afterwards. And this was at a time in like, this is the mid-90s. I was still very much a part of a clique, if you will. There were maybe 50 voiceover actors at that time that were making healthy livings doing that. And these were my buds and it's so good. But thank you for asking whoever, Monkey on Your Back, what was it?
Monkey in My Mind.
Monkey in My Mind.
Even worse.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a monkey you can't escape.
That's right.
Donut break! Are you kidding me?
All right. I am looking at a glazed... What is the shape of this donut?
Hot dog.
Hot dog. A hot dog shaped donut.
Hot dog bun.
Hot dog bun.
Phallic donut with a piece of bacon on top of it.
Oh my God.
And
that's
maple.
Yeah.
Smells like maple.
Maple.
Maple bacon.
Look at that. I think somebody heard my mind or something because I thought everything goes better with bacon. This is a real piece. Did we add this or did you bought it like this? She made them make us a donut with bacon on top. That's incredible. We're going to do this. I'm digging
it. Okay, are we doing it?
Ready?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. I want to make sure I get
she
some
really
of the
wants
bacon.
To make sure she
yeah, you
got to
bite the bacon. It's, yeah.
It off
it needs
little.
To yeah. combine all at once.
Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
One, two,
go.
Three.
Have a bite. The bacon's coming with you. Nancy's got her eyes closed. She's enjoying this so much.
Wow. That's good.
Okay.
That is good.
It's not weird. It's not weird with the bacon in there.
Mm-mm. It's sweet and savory.
That sweet like hits first, and then the savory kind of comes in at the end.
Oh my gosh.
Is it salty?
I don't know if I would say salty, but
definitely savory.
It's got that savoriness flavor at the, it's not too overwhelming, you know? I think the savoriness of the bacon is, I've never described food before, to be honest. I'm not Gordon Ramsay over here.
No, that's what, we need your inner Gordon Ramsay to come out.
I'll tell you, my inner Gordon Ramsay is saying, can you please save this for me so I can have it after the show?
Of course, Nancy, of course.
I don't do that all the time. It's really good. So
are you guys ready to rate it? Ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
8.
Oh! Winner.
Did we just become best friends?
100%.
Oh my gosh.
That's
great.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
Dang. She's getting a second bite.
All right, I'll
wow.
Oh, he's taking a second bite. This is so good. You guys are getting a second bite. I love it.
He likes that bacon.
Oh.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
This is a sprinkle safe zone, a frosting safe zone, especially when there's powdery sprinkles.
My dogs come in afterwards and they vacuum the carpet.
That's the best.
With their tongues. But if you were to have to describe that donut, how would it sound in anime?
Like describe it or
I was
like
telling Nancy,
it.
Like anime is like either majestic and like beautiful and calm, or it's like over the top crazy.
Yeah, lots of screaming.
Screaming, like wild. Like there's such a dichotomy in anime.
I know.
Which is part of what's so great about it.
Yeah.
So it's your choice.
Oh, geez.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's either majestic.
This donut, you know, is it like the chaos, evil, you know, type of donut, or is it a good guy? Is bacon good or evil?
It's, well, I mean, it's at the top.
You know?
Is it like a villain? Like this kind of.
I think so, yeah. Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am the bacon donut lord, filled with maple.
Kills everyone.
I love it. It totally works.
And maple.
Come on. Perfect combination. Name a better duo.
So, Zach, Jericho Valmonte asks, what's the technique in Genos's voice?
Oh, yeah. So they're probably talking about the lower, like the lower range. I got this role when I was, oh gosh, I think I just turned 18. And I had done a bunch of auditions for Genos. Like I did 4 callbacks for this role. And when I go in, I had just been using my own voice, right? And he says, he's talking about like his sensei, right? So he says, my master is a very busy man. And he kind of has like this more focused tone. And I had been doing that, but the producers asked me, they said, hey, can you make his voice lower? And so we kept going down in steps, right? So my master is a very busy man.
My master is a very busy man. Say it in 20 words or less.
And then they said to me, they're like, hey, can you hold your voice? Can you do that for 4 hours? And every acting coach I had ever been to just said, just say yes and figure it out later. So that's exactly what I did. And it was a very humbling and learning experience working on that show, because the amount of like musculature tension that is in my throat and diaphragm at the same time to produce that sound is rough.
So what happens? Do you cough? Do you throw up? Like what happens if you do it too much?
What happens if I do it too much? Oh my gosh. I just remember like getting out of those sessions and like, oh, it hurts to even twist my neck, you know, because I'm just holding it in place.
When I'm in a hurry, which is nearly all the time, I grab my favorite tops, pants, and dresses because they look good, they are comfy, and just work. And those outfits are Quince. They make elevated essentials out of premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail markup. I know it's really hot outside, but starting at $32, their 100% European linen pants and dresses are perfect. But what about after work when I go out with my friends? No problem. I love my Quince 100% organic cropped cardigan that I have in my transit quilted carry-all tote. They are ideal, especially when I'm going out with my friends. Quince cuts out the middleman and works directly with ethical factories, offering everything at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They even carry elevated essentials for your home, like bedding and bath items. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/Nancy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/Nancy for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nancy.
It's crazy to hear that sound come out of you.
It's like,
that's amazing.
It's wild.
Do you want to know the story of where it came from?
Yes.
I played a lot of Xbox as a kid, like a 12-year-old. I was on Xbox. Hey, guys, how's it going? And people on the internet, as you, I'm sure, are aware, are pretty mean. Yep. Especially if you're a young boy or, you know, you have a high voice. Like, hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, that's me.
And, I was like, you know what? I wish people would take me seriously, because I played a lot of like Call of Duty and Halo and competitive shooter games. Mm-hmm. And one day I just got on the microphone and I was like,
hey guys, let's go left side. Let's move.
Wow.
Go capture the flag. Wow. Rockets up in 10.
And they would say,
that's so crazy.
crazy. Like the these like teenagers or 17-year-olds, however old these guys were, maybe they were in their 20s, like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And all of a sudden, I got treated with respect and love that I deserved, and it was amazing.
The commander, and they're like,
incredible. So I just started doing that on the micro, like me and my little Xbox headset. As a, I mean, I think I was like around 14 when I kind of discovered I could lower my voice to that type of range. So
I am so impressed. Cool. Yeah, that's amazing.
Super random, but that's where it came from. Like, I didn't want to be bullied anymore.
Yeah. Wow, look at that.
And thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, and I'm just speaking for who we've had on the show, the only other person who made a voice, I'm like, it sounds like another human is inside of you speaking was Troy Baker when he does Joel.
Legend. Oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. So I'm putting you up there, my friend.
Wow.
Because it does, if I close my eyes, I'm like, oh, I'm looking at like a 6'4", huge, like, you know.
Yes.
Those listening do not know. Maybe they can go on that journey of like seeing that it's like a totally different, it's a character that you completely created.
For sure. Yeah.
Impressive.
Wow. Well, thank you for the kind words, Troy Baker. That's insane.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he is. And so are you.
Okay. All right. Hit me with your next question.
Teddy Burns 24 asks, what's your favorite prank Bart pulled off?
Well, there's a lot. But maybe five. I can think of several. But Timmy O'Toole, when he's down the well and he's got a Mr. Microphone and Rod and Todd Flanders are next door and they're casually walking by. And, Rod, Todd, this is God. What are you doing on our radio? What do you mean, what am I doing on the radio? I created the universe, stupid kid. Sorry. You know, anyway, so that's one. And then there's all the Moe's Tavern. I'm looking for... I'm looking for last name Freely, first initials IP. We're looking for a Freely, IP Freely. Anybody IP Freely? So there's that. There's alcoholic.
Amanda.
Amanda kiss and hug. What else we got? Jacques Strap. It's like, I mean, the writers were so challenged by coming up with fresh ones. I think we had to lay it to rest for a while. It just is like, wow. But man, Hank and I had such a blast doing those. He's cracking me up. Why, you little Iotish.
This is so surreal for me. Like, hear you do it in real life. You know, this is crazy. When you record it, do you just go with the script? Like, do you take a beat and then just reply to yourself if you're playing multiple characters?
Yeah, but I don't take a beat. I just answer.
You just go right into it.
Yeah, I just go right into it.
Wow.
You know, Rod Todd, this is good. I got a job for thee. Go to the kitchen and bring forth all the cookies. But those are our parents' cookies. Do you want a happy God or a vengeful God? Happy God, happy God. Make forth with the cookies. Yes, sir.
That's amazing. That is so funny.
You never cut off your own work, you know? You never interrupt yourself when you do all the voices.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one.
I love that.
Mitsuki Moons asks, how did you get into voice acting?
Jeez, I was... I grew up watching anime, video games. I did some on-camera stuff as a kid when I was like in kindergarten.
What?
And my mom had me with a manager and an agent. I had the whole shebang. And so my mom would call up my school and say, oh, my son he's so sick. He's probably going to be out of school for a week. And then she'd be like, come here, honey, cough on the phone. he's really sick. He's dying. And then she would hang up the phone, call up my manager and say, all right, we have Zach for 5 days. What can we get him on? What auditions can he go to? Because that was, you know, everything was in person. You'd have to go in person, audition. So I would be booked and I would just go from, you know, my parents are in Orange County. So we would just drive from Orange County to Hollywood or Orange County, you know, to LA somewhere every day, trying to do as many auditions as I possibly could.
And hang out at Schwab's in between.
Yeah.
Hoping to get recognized. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was just like remembering being in the car and missing school and kind of missing
hooky
friends.
Yeah. Your mom played hooky for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would have to like do little makeup homework during lunch break when I actually was in school. And so then I would miss the socialization of being with my friends because it was all just school after that.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of started to just hate it. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I was like 6 years old. I had a great memory. So I was able to go, read like a few paragraphs and go in and kind of like say what was on the card. Mm. Ultimately stopped doing it because my mom realized that I wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing some things. I did like some commercials. I did like a really small little film. I did print work too. Stopped doing it completely. And later on when I was around 12, 13, I discovered voiceover. Mm. Funny enough, I was watching an anime. And truthfully, I just never really thought about people who were behind the microphone, right?
Yeah.
It's just not something I think maybe a kid really thinks that hard about.
Right. It's too technical.
Yeah. I mean, even now I meet kids at conventions who are, you know, maybe like 9, 10 years old, and they'll come up, and as soon as they meet me, they're just not even, they don't care. You can tell like their eyes, they're just like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And then I do the voice. It's like, the name's Tanjiro Kamada. And they freak out, right? And they're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I've had kids that just start like bawling and crying. And they're like, you're really him.
Wow.
And it's so sweet. Yeah. But I just never thought about it. So I remember I watched panels and interviews of like Naruto voice actors as a kid. And that inspired me to kind of pursue voiceover. And when I was 12, 13, I started taking some voiceover classes. And ultimately, just started working on small little things. But in 2014, I won a voice acting competition at Anime Expo. I was 16 years old.
Oh.
And everything kind of changed from that point. A studio recognized me. I got to go in and play some additional characters in that show. It was called Magi, the Kingdom of Magic. And they just kept using me.
Right.
I didn't have an agent. I didn't know anything about the voiceover world. It was a whole kind of learning experience, run and gun.
Mm.
Learn as you go. But the rest is history. I mean, you know, you just keep doing the same old thing, like sending your info to the studios, networking, meeting people, and then just trying to get the only thing you can ask for, which is an audition.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's cool. So amazing.
Harlito Kez. Okay, I don't know how to read this. Says, how did it feel when Bart Simpson became such a huge part of pop culture?
Well, it's kind of the way that you were describing it. It's a very similar thing. It's like it happened. And I'll just add to it by saying that, like, I can see kids wearing t-shirts and seeing all the merchandise and stuff. And I'm not, it's interesting, but I feel like I'm separate from it. I'm outside of it because I don't look, I'm not him. I don't look, he's a drawing. You know, when I've seen myself in the stuff that I've done on camera, it's a little harder to differentiate because that looks like me. Mm. But in animation, and especially with The Simpsons, it's like, I'm a fan and I enjoy it as a fan and I find it kind of surreal. It's a bit surreal that the public worldwide, that it's become after 38 plus years, that we are so iconic now and I'm part of this world, you know. And you had said before too, it's so such a collaborative world. There's so many people that it takes to make a product like this. And even what we're doing here on a podcast, I'm not by myself. We got Sophie, I got Monica, we got the whole team of people here that are like pushing this thing forward and we're just having a blast. So I do what I do, you know, and there's that anonymity at Target.
Yeah. I think it's cool though. It's nice. I've always compared it to like Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
You know, like where you put the wig on and you're famous and then you take it off and you're like, I'm normal.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. This is actually from Frank B. Boostin, who asks, what are the first steps to becoming a voice actor?
Oh, wow. I mean, I think you got to become an actor first. That's the best. That's the advice I've always said. And that's what I think a lot of other colleagues of mine agree with, too, is, you know, work on acting, work on the craft, love the craft. And, you know, I meet a lot of people, I think, who they're really good at like impressions and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I always tell them, I said, hey, that's awesome that you have that skill. The skill, you know,
you can change your voice. You can do
all sorts of different characters, right? I think that's super cool. But I think one of the hardest parts about acting and creating something from voiceover is looking at a piece of paper with a description and being able to make something magical out of that, right? Like all you get is a black and white piece of paper. And you're just reading some words. Okay, cool. Now create that in your head.
Right.
You know, you're not copying somebody else. You are the sole creator of that thing.
Right.
So that's the hard part. Whenever you think about, you know, people who have done these iconic characters, like Nancy, for example, or Tom Kenny, SpongeBob, or Charles Martinet, who does Mario. You know, all of those people, they came up with, you come up with the
right.
character. You come up with the laugh and the sound yeah. and everything that kind of makes that character so iconic.
Yeah.
And I think that is the most difficult part of acting
mm-hmm.
in doing voiceover. So
the originality of it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah, that you have to come up with it. It's mm-hmm. not like you can just hear somebody else do it and then you copy them. I think that does take a skill in itself. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but I think that yeah, having the originality of that character, that
yeah.
is the hardest part. So work on that.
That's
a
beautiful.
Skill. Yeah.
You're saying the very same thing that my mentor said to me.
Oh.
Dawes Butler was Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear, Quick Draw McGraw, Elroy Jetson, Bob Louie, Cogswell Cog, Peter Potamus.
Yeah.
He did all those original voices for Hanna-Barbera and he said, make it your own. Take the black on white and somehow you roll it around in your mind and whatever comes out, that's yours. So that's really good advice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's yeah. so cool.
Yeah. Good job, man.
Yeah.
You tapped into something really smart, but what would you say is your process for creating that? Because it is, you go, well, yeah, that's the hard part. How do I do it? What do I do to do that?
You know, sometimes I try out a bunch of different things and I just have to let my mind go. I have to let my mind just go blank and let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's like improv that comes with it. You see something, maybe you just have a really weird idea, but I've found creatively doing weirder things and things that maybe you think, you know, you're kind of against that. Like, is that too weird to send in? They probably won't like that. That's usually the one. That's
wow.
the one that I book. That's the one that I get when it is weird or I kind of do something that's just odd. And I don't
really?
Think too, I think about it, but I don't overthink
yeah.
it. Right? Because if I think if you overthink, then
yeah, it'll kill the creativity.
It's gonna
right?
kill it. Exactly.
Was it fair to say that you surprise them and you surprise yourself?
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. Sometimes I just look at something and you know, magic just kind of, I mean, I view it as magic, but
totally.
It, you know, something magical just happens with the microphone. But I think anybody who wants to get into this, you know, focus on being an actor, the creative process, creativity, learn how to read out loud, right? Have mm-hmm. proper diction and also learn how to take it away. Because
mm-hmm.
not every character has like the most, you know, the absolute perfect proper diction.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
sometimes you got to sloppy it up and sound like a real dude that's just out there, you know, walking around, going to Target.
Back to Target. And then with anime, you have to learn how to match the mouth flaps.
Right.
And that's its own challenge because
oh
there's like, okay,
yes.
I'm just going to do whatever and they'll animate around my voice. But when you're like, okay, I have to say the line as the character plus match and the timing has to be right. Because we've interviewed like Sarah Natacheny and like anime legends.
Yeah,
like yourself and Adam MacArthur. And
oh,
we're
yeah.
just like.
He's all right. No, I'm just kidding.
You guys are best friends.
Yeah,
I know
he's
it.
He's my assistant. He wore a shirt to our, we had this Demon Slayer premiere at the Chinese Theater, right? And he wore a shirt that says Zach Aguilar's assistant.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It was
oh
so,
God.
And now it's become a meme on the internet that he's my assistant. People will come up to me
That's
at
so
conventions
funny.
And say, where's your assistant? And I'm always like, what? And then
that.
I remember, oh, right, you're talking about Adam. Yeah.
That's so Adam.
He's
just like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll just do this funny thing. But I mean, you guys are like doing the voice, doing the character,
matching.
It's
flaps,
wild.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing. And ultimately, to be completely honest, when I first started doing voiceover for anime and matching those like mouth movements, it was something that I just had an instant knack for. I wish I could tell
cool.
you I could watch it once, watch the animation, and then just look at the script and get the timing almost perfect. And I think I know why.
Really?
I am a pianist. I grew up playing piano as a kid.
Oh.
So like those, like the beats and the time signatures, my teacher was really strict. She was like this lady from Juilliard and super, super strict. Like everything, perfect timing.
Wow.
Absolutely
yeah. wow.
perfect timing. If you're even just like a millisecond off, do it again.
Wow.
So I think that same timing kind of carried over into voiceover.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
How music helps all sorts yes. of other artistic endeavors. Because
100%.
I feel like music is something everyone should learn and know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it does – Nancy's a musician too. She can play instruments. So it's like it does translate into so many things of life.
That's well, it's
so
kind cool. of mathematical too.
It is.
Yeah. You think about it, you know,
for
the
sure.
exactness of it. It's like yeah. a science, but you've taken that and you've turned it into an art form.
Right. Did you just say exactness?
Exactness. Did I say it wrong?
No, you said it right, but no, I'm like,
that's me. Yeah,
this is exact. Him. Like he's exact.
Exact.
He's exact.
You know what? I once had an idea. I'm like, oh, I should start a podcast, but and
so silly.
I thought about starting a podcast before, and I was trying to come up with like some kind of punny name or something, yeah. you know, fun. And I was like, what if I called it Exactly?
I love it. Can I be on it?
And you know what? I told that to all my friends and like and my parents, and they're like, "You should probably come up with another name."
I'm glad
you like it. I'm glad.
See,
you like
this
it.
Was completely unwarranted,
unfiltered.
Yeah, unfiltered. This is just the magic that happens on the show. So I vote yes. Something with your name like that. Come on, I just think it's. The yeah. fact that you are exact with the mouth flapping and the piano history, something about that.
I like that. Yeah, there's history know. Behind it.
There is. Kinda. There's yeah. a reason for it. It's yeah. not just the name. There's
yeah,
a
there's something
for
I
it.
Could, you know, BS about it.
Wiggle yeah, like that around
the
in your mind.
Of the thing. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Joseph Harrison Milzark asks, how much freedom do you get to improvise while recording?
Oh yeah, there's no rule or regulation. They don't stop us. We just go and you know, we don't record now the way we used to record in the old days. I mean, when I go way, way back when we first started doing the show, it was a long day, Zach. We were there from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and I wouldn't get home and I had babies.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. that was a bit challenging because they were learning. The Simpsons yeah. is the OG in this area. You know, it's like, wow. But we would go in and we would have already done the table read on a Thursday. And then that Monday, we would go in and do another table read after they'd rewritten over the weekend. Mm. After that table read, the writers would go off. They'd been taking notes and they would go off and rewrite. And we would start to record like right away on scenes that were not going to be rewritten. So it wasn't done exactly in order. So we would do the scenes and throughout the day, it would start out with blue, then it would turn to yellow, then green, then pink, then orange, then the colors of the paper would change because these were the changes. So sometimes a scene was rewritten 2-3 times, you know, and we would just do wow. it over again. So that's why it was taking so long. That went on for years and years. So if in doing this, I threw in some kind of an ad lib or something, you know, nobody was... you know, making us feel bad or wrong about it. It's a creative process, but obviously eight, nine months later when it's on the air, nobody remembered who said it anyway. And it's just like, right. we're just wanting a good show.
Yeah.
yeah.
But it's evolved over the years. We don't even record together anymore. We record at home. Half the time we're in our home studios. And sometimes I get to go in and they want to do it. We'll do the table reads half and half at home on Zoom. Or we go into the studio and do it live.
Wow.
Yeah.
yeah. That's interesting to hear how recording has kind of evolved too from that time. So back when you were doing those really long days, in my head, I'm just thinking, oh, it's kind of like filming on camera, right? Yeah. It's like you're yeah, on a set, but you're in a studio, yeah. but you're spending so much time because the voiceover sessions nowadays, everything's kind of in specific increments, right?
Like yeah.
all of the sessions I do, it's like 2-4 hour increments usually. And they, I mean, depending on what the deadline is, I've done some longer ones, but for the most part, they're like, okay, cool. Here's a 4-hour session. Here's your rate. And then if we need more, we'll book you for tomorrow and the next day, the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Zach, the thing is our fans love to hear kind of wild off stories that have never been heard any other place because obviously with our show, we love to kind of declassify or like get yeah. into like wacky stories about your experience as a voice actor. So here's the first question. What's a role that you almost didn't get that completely changed your career?
I'm trying to think of a role. I mean, maybe it was maybe it was Genos. It might have actually been Genos because I was 18 at the time, still super new. The studio didn't really know who I was, but they, you know, they kind of wanted to give me a shot. And I remember when I booked that role, the promo we got to do for the show was crazy. They flew me out to New York Comic Con. We did a panel in front of 5,000 people.
How fun.
And one of my friends who's on the show, his name's Chris J. Alex, he voiced the main villain named Boros in the show, but he also worked on like Captain America Civil War, and he worked on a lot of the Marvel sets with Stan Lee. Wow. So he knew Stan, and it just so happened to be that Stan Lee was at New York Comic Con as well in 2016. And so Stan obviously super busy the entire time at the convention, didn't have a chance to meet him, but he was on our same flight going back to LA. So we see Stan in the airport with his bodyguard, and my buddy, he walks up and he's like, "Guys, look, it's Stan. Oh, I'll introduce you guys," right? And Stan's bodyguard instantly sees us approaching Stan in the airport, right? And he's like, "Hey, back up. Whoa, back up, back up." And Stan like is wondering, what's going on? He looks over at my friend who he recognizes from working on all the Marvel sets. And he's like, "Hold on a second. I know that guy." and I got to go over and meet Stan Lee and just have like a really – you know, I wish that I asked for a picture with him during that time, but I didn't want to because he had just spent – I mean, that poor man, he'd been sitting in a chair and people would just come over and take a picture with him all for the entire convention. So I just wanted to have like a personal conversation with me. And, you know, he said, "I hope we have a chance to work together one day." And I'm like, I would absolutely love that. I mean, he was just the sweetest guy. And I think back, you know, just getting that role and having that opportunity going to New York –
yeah.
It's just such a cool story to say that I got to meet Stan Lee and kind of in that setting where my friend introduced me to him. And I don't know.
That's a great story. That's lovely. You were so gracious.
Yeah.
Really lovely, Zach.
He was gracious to take the time. I'm sure he was exhausted. Yeah. Those conventions are rough. It's so tiring. But he's just really, really sweet. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. But I think back to that moment, that story, and I think, you know, playing that character kind of propelled my career too afterwards, just getting to go everywhere and promo and
Who knows? Maybe they flipped a coin and you'll never know.
I'll never know, but I did 4 callbacks for that role, which was kind of wild for what it was. I mean, typically for anime, you just audition for it and it's like you get it, or maybe you have 1 callback at the most, but 4 callbacks.
Dude.
And sending my voice to Japan to make sure like it fits up with their vision of the character too.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Good deal.
It was intense.
Okay, so what's the weirdest place anyone has ever asked you to do one of your character voices?
I've had some weird things happen to me. Yes, yes. A guy comes up behind me as I'm, you know, using the urinal and like, "Dude, you're Tanjiro, bro. Can you do the thing?" And you know what I said? Because I sometimes I'm kind of quick with it.
Yeah.
Not when I'm taking a leak.
I'm kind of quick with it. So jokingly, what I said to this guy, Tanjiro, he has all these different forms, right? Like elemental forms. He says like, "Total concentration, water breathing," as I was taking a leak. So it's like water breathing. And he's like, "Dude, that's awesome." And he's like walking out of the bathroom. Yeah, that actually happened, but I've never told that anywhere. It was so random.
Simpsons declassified.
But I'm also paranoid now because people might think, "Oh, Zach really liked that." Like, maybe don't come up behind me in the bathroom.
Please don't. I think fans, a little weird. Everyone listening out there, just leave people alone in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know.
Maybe when I walk outside of the bathroom,
there you go.
Then you know, but in the bathroom, that's a sacred place.
That's right. You heard it here first, people. Okay, so what's a voice acting disaster that fans would never know happened?
This one thing sucked. Because a lot of my work that I would do, or still kind of do, I try to not do as much. It's just very loud, you know, screaming. Yeah, you're doing like a video game and you're doing all these different sounds. And you're getting like beaten up, right?
Totally.
You're doing all the grunts. My character is getting punched in the face and constantly punched in the gut, electrocuted, whatever. You're making all of those pain noises.
Yes.
And then I have like a super important audition afterwards that is last minute and a studio wants me to come in to their booth and go. And so I did that one time after recording, recording a show, and I blew it. I completely blew it because I was so nervous. I called my agent. I was like, hey, can we reschedule the audition?
You couldn't talk or?
I'm kind of sounding like this,
dude.
Because I'm like, I just, I killed
And no amount voice. Of honey or tea is like.
Nothing.
You blew out your pipes.
Yeah, I did everything. Oh. I had a little like saline nebulizer, portable one in my car that I was using. I was doing like trying to get my cords to connect again. And I was like vocal exercises. I had tea. Oh. I did. And this was all within the span of an hour. I finished my session. I'm driving to the studio and I'm doing all these things to try to get my voice back for this one audition. And I just couldn't get it back. I remember I walked in there and it was for this major, major video game. And it's like the lead. And it was even, it was requested. The team requested me to come in and do this. And I'm like, okay, I got this. The only day they can do it on, they wouldn't reschedule. Oh. And I thought about, what do I do? Do I just say I can't come in and leave it? I'm like, I guess I gotta.
Did you show up?
I did.
Like, and what happened?
Oh, I sucked.
Integrity. You kept your integrity. They saw that you were sincere. I would have said, oh, God, how can we do this to help you? I don't know. I thought that sounds pretty amazing that you did that.
That's what I told the team. I was like, guys, I just want to let you know. I just screamed like my head off. And I know this is the only time you have to do this. So, you know, I just wanted to come in and give it my best shot. But I'm not. You know,
like, can I send you a voice memo like in a week?
I know. I'm like, maybe at 20% power right now.
Oh, shit. Dang.
Yeah. So that's my disaster. That's all I can think of, like off the top of my head. I'm sure I've had so many different weird things that have happened to me.
Donut break!
Donut!
You get another one.
Yeah, donut.
What kind of donut is this? It does not look round.
It's not. It's square.
It's a square donut with a hole in the middle.
Look at this.
And
it's kind of got a croissant.
It's got cinnamon, sugary, cinnamony.
Cinnamon sugar-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the little croissant wrinkles on it.
Right? The little layers.
Yeah, it's the layers, got like the... What is that? Phyllo dough? Where it's layered like that?
Oh, filo dough. So, she's so sophisticated when it comes to donuts.
All right, let's take a bite, man. What's it? Ooh.
Oh.
Look at that.
There's like
What is that? Oh, wow. It's like the back rooms for
I'm
donuts.
I'm telling you. They forgot to stuff it, and they could have. Mm. It's got all these. Look at all
Nancy,
these.
It has a hat.
Yeah, it's like doughy, but I thought that there was going to be like cream or something inside, right? As soon as I bit in, I'm like, oh, there's...
It's missing something.
Yeah, but it's surprisingly delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Should we rate it?
Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
7.
Oh!
close.
We were. Close, yeah.
Wow.
But the bacon has your heart.
Yes.
I know. I'm just a sucker for the sweet donut and the savory, too. For me, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
We've got a quick skit here.
Ooh.
And we can do this. You be Tanjiro, and I'm going to be Bart.
Okay. Bart, why are you carrying a skateboard and a sword?
I'm joining the Demon Slayer Corps.
Wait, have you trained?
No.
Have you mastered any breathing techniques?
Just holding my breath when I pass Springfield dump count?
No.
Well, then no.
Have you defeated any demons?
Does Principal Skinner count?
No.
Well, what about Sideshow Bob?
Also no.
Oh man, your standards are way too high, dude.
Bart, why do you even want to be a demon slayer?
Because every anime hero gets an epic training montage.
But that's not why we do it.
Yeah, but it helps.
You know what? Let's start with breathing exercises.
Cool. Then tomorrow we do the montage.
That's not...
Montage!
Well done!
That's awesome. So cool.
You guys are hot for freezing cold read.
Montage!
Okay, so we always ask our guests to leave a question for the next guest without knowing who the next guest is going to be. So the last guest left a question for you. Our last guest was Kari Walgren.
No way.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kari Walgren. What is one thing that you know now that you wish you had known when you were 10 years old?
I wish I knew about the power of investing in yourself.
Whoa.
I know, I got really deep.
Wow, that's heavy for a 10-year-old. Wow. Tell me more.
I just wish I wish I knew about, you know, I just wish I knew about, yeah, investing in yourself, taking whatever money you get or whatever it is and putting it towards your dream and kind of believing in yourself. And that's something I slowly ended up realizing, I think, as time went on and things started working out for me. I'm like, oh, you know, if I believe in myself and if I get more training or whatever it is, I feel like I feel more in control of my own destiny, of my passion, rather than, I don't know, I guess anything else.
That's interesting, because that confidence thing is like, I would imagine a lot of kids, and depending upon how you're raised, too, what environment was that? Did your family support what you were doing? Right. And if they supported you, you would definitely have a better sense of confidence, I would think. Right?
For sure. Yeah, I think it's weird because, so my parents, they are just I love my parents, but they're just super normal. Like in terms of creativity, anything. I mean, my dad kind of paints for fun, but other than that, my parents don't know anything about music, performing. Even all of this was kind of like my mom wanted me to get into acting because I think some teacher of mine or somebody said, oh, your son has a lot of energy. He's really good at memorizing. Maybe you should be an actor. And my mom's like, okay. She's from New York, you know, she's not, and she's from upstate New York too. Mm. She's not from the city or anything like that. And she just wanted to give it a try and see, she thought it would be kind of like a fun hobby for me as a kid. Mm. But yeah, I guess there was so many times in this world where I didn't really know who to turn to, or I had a question about something or advice and I had no idea. It was sort of like, figure it out on your own. And but the power of just believing, I think, in yourself. I read something really interesting online that it's kind of like comes back to a manifestation sort of thing. If you really are somewhat delusional and you really believe in yourself, that belief, it's more likely to come true.
Right.
It's kind of the same mindset. If you quit, then you're definitely never going to achieve your goal.
Right.
But if you keep going, well, I think the odds are increasing every second that you spend working towards that goal still.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's yours. Cool. It's your dream.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I feel very blessed to be doing all of this. It's still so surreal to me, like honestly, even being here. I can't believe I'm sitting across from Bart Simpson.
What about me?
And what about me? Don't forget me.
Maggie, oh my gosh,
Maggie too.
Yeah, that's so good.
That's amazing.
Show off.
Okay, so Zach, we want you to leave a question for our next guest.
Hey, my name is Zach Aguilar, and I have a very important question for you. My question is, which is the better anime? Demon Slayer or Jujutsu Kaisen?
That's amazing. Nice. Like, I didn't understand what the second one was, so I'll just go with the first
one. There you go.
Thank you for your question,
That would
Zach.
Be so hilarious. Somebody doesn't even know what...
I mean, it may happen.
But I love that. I love that, though. That's kind of...
That's kind of part of the fun random. Part, right? Yeah. They're like, I don't know. Anyway, I'll just... whatever. And we'll
me and Adam,
happens.
We've just had that debate going back and forth. Like, so for our anime... when the show started really blowing up and getting popular, the company started advertising our show on airplanes, like Japan Airlines.
Oh, wow.
And they would have our characters on these planes, right? Uh-huh. And so they had a bunch of Demon Slayer planes coming out. And ooh. Adam, me and Adam, we had like some back and forths on Twitter, you know, like a long time ago.
Really?
We would go back and forth on Twitter and Adam would say, I don't be like, oh, look, we got a Jujutsu Kaisen car and it has all of his characters on a car or whatever. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cute. We have a plane, you know? And so we would just go back and forth, like trying to one-up each other on whose show is better.
Wait, that's amazing. You know?
I mean, obviously it doesn't matter, but it was just so stupid and funny. Like, we had a great time with it. And the fans would all get behind us and be like, yeah, this show's better. And some of those fans are very passionate. So I think they were taking it way more seriously than we were. You know, we're just messing around, but those guys are like, no, this is the reason why it's the better show.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, you know, the the character lore, the designs, the way that it was structured, blah, 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 blah. Wow. And I'm like, wow, dude. Like,
it's dedicated fans, fan addicts. They're like, they're the ones. And, you know, the fans, though, that's why we're here.
It's true.
That's why we even do this thing.
Yeah.
And we came up with this idea, producer came up with this idea about, like, your Simpsons story. And so this segment is really for the fans out there, for you guys out there. So we ask them to tell us, like, what is their favorite story regarding about the Simpsons, like, what had them watch it, what's a favorite moment that they had that they want to share with us. And then we have to go through, you know, filter all through it. And we got this submission from, drum roll please, Majestacarp, who wrote in, "The Simpsons is the only show everyone in my family could ever sit down and watch together."
Wow.
Which is like, that's so awesome. That's so awesome, dude. So yeah, family bonding.
I love
that. That's what we got.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people bond over show. That's how I bonded with my dad, playing Halo and, you know, going on Xbox Live, being like, hey guys, what's up?
All right, let's move left side. Let's go.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love it. Okay, so we have another question we want you to answer for us.
I'm
so
ready.
We really want you to share your favorite memory as a kid.
Okay. I think I got it. Yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's interesting. My favorite memory as a kid is when I visited Fiji with my parents. I was 7 years old, and I got to hang out with a lot of the kids in the village. The village chief came out, and he kind of let me and all the other kids go off and play. And my parents were really worried about me. They're like, is he going to be okay? Like, they're just taking him away. And I'm just following all these other kids. And I'm playing with a wheel, like, and a stick. And it just gave me such a good appreciation for everything that I have. Like, I had so much fun with these other kids and just getting to meet them all and just playing with a freaking wheel and a stick.
Wow.
I feel like that kind of taught me something as a kid that, oh, wow, like, it's the people that I'm surrounded by, because all of them are so grateful for everything that they have, and they're so joyous and happy and welcoming to me, and they're playing with a wheel on a stick, and I'm playing this with this wheel on a stick, and we're spending hours out here just doing this. And it's something you kind of absorb, I think, later on in life, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that in depth about it, but it gave me a greater appreciation for everything that I have and made me go back home afterwards and just think, I'm not going to ask my parents for, like, all these different things.
Wow.
You know, I'm just happy to have what I have.
That's so
pretty. Yeah.
That's so incredible.
Good. Well, what's up? What's next? Like, what do you got coming up that we have look forward to with you?
Ooh, there's a show coming out on, it's already out. Our first season's out. It's on Netflix. It's called Blue Box. It's a romance anime, which I don't really do a lot of those. Usually I'm like the protagonist in a very shonen fighting show.
Yeah.
So
are you the lead?
I am. Yeah.
You're the lead romantic guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's just me. It's kind of like a whole love triangle thing going on. These two girls like this guy, and he really likes this one girl, but then this other girl, they get along really well, and it's a whole thing. But
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I love romance anime.
It's actually really good too. Yeah. It's just cool. It's such a slice of life kind of show. There's a lesson that you can learn for. I think there's something everybody can kind of take away from it. Even if you're not exactly into everything they show it in that show, they have some sports and stuff too that they all play, and that's kind of what they bond over in a way. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be working on our second season of this show, and it's so fun.
That sounds really good.
I'm going to meet the team actually from Japan this July at Anime Expo. We're doing a panel there, so a lot of these people
in Japan.
No, just here at Anime, just in LA Convention Center.
Oh,
but they're coming from Japan.
Wow, yeah.
So like, do this whole panel.
Wow.
Wow. So, and so we're doing a dinner and everything. I've never met them in person, so that'll be cool.
Exciting. Zach, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. This is surreal. Like, this is so crazy.
I'll pinch you and make it real.
Please, yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
We'll feed you more donuts so you know that's real.
I'm going to share this with every family member I have.
Aww,
I'm going to send this to all my cousins. They're going to freak out. What?
Yay!
Show's over, losers.